Begin by asking you a question this morning. Have you ever had somebody tell you that you assume too much? I think we've probably at all of us at one time or another have been told that you're assuming too much. Let me give you a couple of examples, like the one about the professional carpet layer who stepped back to survey a newly installed carpet, and as he did, he reached into his pocket for a cigarette. Well, he quickly realized that the cigarette pack was missing, and at the same time, he noticed a lump under the middle of the carpet, in the middle of the room, about the size of the missing cigarette pack. Well, there was no way to retrieve his cigarette pack from under the attached carpet without ripping everything up and starting over. So finally, he decided the best thing to do would be to beat that object flat. Just beat it and beat it and beat it till it was flat, thereby destroying any evidence of his mistake. And so that's what he did. And it looked really, really good. And so he gathers his tools and he walks out to the truck and he looks inside, and guess what's there on the front seat? On there on the front seat of the truck was that missing pack of cigarettes. And as he lit one up, the homeowner came running out of the house and asked this question: "Have you seen my son's parakeet?" I think he just assumed that the cigarettes were underneath that carpet, and he assumed too much. And we all have done this. We've all assumed too much at one time or another, and we've all gotten ourselves into trouble assuming too much. Let me give you a Bible example of assuming too much. In the New Testament, you have a ruler by the name of Pilate. And Pilate is an example of someone assuming too much. Pilate's biggest mistake in life came from making false assumptions. For example, when Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate assumed that the person standing before him, by the way he looked and by the way he dressed, was just another Jew. He assumed too much. Pilate assumed because Jesus didn't retaliate when the guards hit him and placed a crown of thorns on his head that he was a weakling. He assumed too much. And Pilate assumed that Pilate, was the judge and that he was in control. He assumed too much. And men and women down through the ages of time have done this very thing. They've assumed things that have gotten them into trouble. And this morning, I want us to look at two ways that we may be assuming too much. First of all, we may assume that we can sin and get away with it. Now, can a person sin and get away with it? Well, I guess in one sense they can. For instance, babies. You know, babies like us are all born with a sin nature. But they have not reached the age of accountability, and they don't know what sin is. And if they die, they're not going to be held accountable for sin. Along these same lines, there are people who are mentally challenged. The Bible refers to them as the feeble-minded, and they don't know what sin is. And God is not going to hold these folks accountable for something that they are unable to understand. But for the rest of us, it's different. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 17, "To him that knoweth to do good," that is, someone who knows to do right, "to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin." Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, I don't think this is a sin," or "I don't think that is a sin." But let me tell you this morning, what you and I think does not matter. If God's word says that it's a sin, it is a sin, plain and simple. And, of course, there are people who know what sin is based on the Word of God, but they still go ahead and sin anyway, and these people are going to be held accountable for their sins. Even people who've never gone to church know what sin is. But unfortunately, the world is full of people who actually think they can sin and get away with it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, there are multitudes of people who live as they please and feel that they can sin and get away with it, but no, they cannot. And I think, for instance, of Samson in the Old Testament. He was a man like that. In Judges chapter 14, it shows us a number of dumb things that Samson did thinking he could sin and get away with it. First of all, I want you to notice that Samson went to the wrong place. Look at the first few words of verse 1 of Judges 14. It says, and Samson went down to Timnath. Now, Timnath was in Philistine territory. It was the territory of the enemies of God. It was about 4 miles down a ridge from Samson's village in Zorah. And this tells us about the decline in Samson's spiritual life. He preferred the company of the wicked Philistines rather than the company of God's people. And there are Christians who think that they can hang out with the ungodly and it won't affect them. They think it won't rub off on them. But again, that's not so. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Samson assumed that he could hang out with the wicked Philistines and not get burned. But he was wrong. He was wrong. Years ago, there was a famous preacher by the name of Bob Harrington. Bob Harrington called himself the chaplain of Bourbon Street in New Orleans. And he preached that a Christian could go into the nightclubs, even the topless ones, on Bourbon Street and witness for the Lord. Even though the scriptures clearly tell us that we're to set no wicked thing before our eyes. And the scriptures clearly tell us to abstain from all appearance of evil. But he completely ignored those warnings. And one day, that temptation that he put himself under got the best of him. And he fell into sin big time. He lost his marriage. He lost his testimony. He lost his ministry. He lost everything of any value. His life was totally ruined. Listen, one of the facts of life is that we become like those we hang out with. And that's exactly the reason why we parents caution our children not to hang out with the wrong kind of classmates at school. For example, I know a young lady, my family, if I mention the name, they'd know exactly who I'm talking about. A young lady who grew up in a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, who when she graduated from high school, she went off into to some liberal college and one day came home and told her Christian parents that she saw nothing wrong with two women sleeping together. Evidently, that young woman had forgotten everything she had been taught from the scriptures because she had let the bad company she was hanging out with corrupt her. Because, you see, the Bible is very clear on the subject that homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. And you know, that's one thing that there is no gray area in the Bible. That's for sure. It is as clear can be. You may not like it, you may not agree with it, but I'll tell you what, It's what the Bible says. It's what the Word of God says. This lady had let this bad company she was hanging out with corrupt her. And you know what? Samson made very similar bad decisions. Samson chose to mingle with the Philistines. It says Samson went down to Timnath. He was in the wrong place. And then secondly, I want you to notice that he was looking at the wrong thing. We'll read the rest of verse 1 and go right into verse 2. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. So he stepped into the wrong place, and Satan had a trap set up for him. I've seen a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, I want you to know that his very godly parents warned him about this. They warned him. Look at verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. She was right in the eyes of Samson, but she was not right in the eyes of God. Samson was in the wrong place, looking at the wrong thing for the wrong reason. You'll notice here concerning this woman, Samson said, I have seen. And I want to remind you this morning that sin always begins with a look. It always begins with a look. You got to be careful. Now, I've actually had, I'm hope none of you would ever come and say this to me, but I've actually had people who profess to be Christians say this to me. Preacher, I can watch the filth on television and on the internet because I have been saved by grace and I have eternal life and I am eternally secure in Jesus. You know what I think? I think that if that's your attitude, you are on your way to hell. And you need to re-examine whether or not you really are saved, because I don't think you were ever saved in the first place. Listen, if you've been saved by grace and become a new creature in Christ, why would you want to live like the old creature of sin? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The evidence that we have been born again is that we no longer live like we once lived. And so reading here again, back at verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath. And let me stop there and remind you that the pathway away from God always leads downward. Always. He went down to Timnath. Sin will always lead you down. But he went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines, and he came up, told his mother, his father and mother, said, I've seen a woman at Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her to me for wife. Now, some people say that it doesn't hurt to look. And at this point, Samson had just looked. But you see, when we go to the wrong place and look at the wrong thing, it leads to other problems. And I want you to notice next that Samson not only looked at the wrong thing, went to the wrong place, but Samson rejected the Word of God. Now, in order to see that, you have to go back and look at a command of God from the book of Deuteronomy. So keep your finger in Judges 14 and quickly turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Beginning in verse 1, we'll read through verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is the command of God for his people, from the Jewish people. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Now notice, neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. You see, God told the Jews not to do the very thing that Samson was doing. But Samson played the fool and went against God's warning. And it didn't matter to Samson because he was being hormone-driven and not Holy Spirit-driven at this point. Now, I want you to go back to Judges 14, see what happens next. Because not only did he look at the wrong thing and go to the wrong place, but it even went further. Verse 7, it says in Judges 14, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Evidently, he had not met her before. He had just seen her before, and he liked what he had seen. Now, I believe that that woman was beautiful, and evidently, before Samson talked to her, he liked what he saw. Now, let me give you young people some advice. One of the biggest decisions you will make will be the decision about who you're going to marry. And you better be sure it's the right person. Be sure of that. You Christian young people, my advice to you is real simple. Do not date unsaved friends. No matter how pretty or how handsome they might be. Why? Because if you date them, then you might fall in love with them and marry them. We teach our children this phrase, every date is a potential mate. Every date is a potential mate. So be careful. Because if you date an unsaved person and you fall in love with them and you marry them, you are violating the word of God. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Marriage between a believer and an unbeliever in the eyes of God is simply wrong. So here's what you want to do, young person. You want to, instead of just going by looks, you want to be searching for the one who loves God. If you're looking for a spouse, look for the one who loves God, who loves family, who loves the Word of God, who loves to pray, who loves church, who is kind and compassionate and caring, someone who is actively serving the Lord, someone who is hardworking, someone who is dependable, and someone who has a desire to see others come to know Jesus as Savior. That's the one that you need to look for. Don't be like Samson. Samson was making a decision on looks alone. And I'll tell you what, when you make your decisions on looks alone, it's going to come back to bite you. It will. Why? Because as people grow older, they will not look the way they did when they're young. And if, I have a white beard coming in. I didn't have that when I was young, right? They don't look the same as they get older. And if you base your decision on looks alone, then when that person has lost their looks, you're going to be in trouble. You need to remember, young people, next to accepting the Lord as your Savior, marriage is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make. And you need to do a lot of praying that God will lead you to the right person. This man, Samson, assumed it was all right to go to the wrong places. He assumed it was all right to look at the wrong things. He assumed it was all right to reject God's word. He assumed it was all right to have wrong relationships. But his assumptions cost him big time. If you know the story, you know that he fell for Delilah's trap. Which really was Satan's trap. She was set up as a spy to deceive Samson, and she did a good job. And if you know the story, you know as a result of it, he lost his strength. He lost his eyesight. When he no longer had the strength, the Philistines came along, these Philistines he wanted to hang out with, and they plucked the eyeballs right out of his head. He lost his testimony. He lost his reputation. He suffered disgrace and humiliation. And eventually, he lost his life because of it. See, a person can live like a fool if he wants to and assume he can sin all he wants to and get away with it. But the Word of God tells us, for instance, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And now, as we've already mentioned, Numbers 32:23, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Samson could have gone down in the history of Israel as one of God's greatest judges, but he played the part of a fool, and his legacy is one of failure. He assumed that he could sin and get away with this, and this is a fatal flaw. Now, secondly, I said there's two things I want to talk to you about. The second one we'll go through pretty quickly here. Secondly, another fatal flaw that can take place is when we assume that we will have many more opportunities to be saved. The truth is, none of us know when we wake up in the morning at sunrise if we're going to be here when the sun goes down. Many wake up and assume they have many more opportunities to accept the Lord. And you know what? Hell is full of people who made that fatal assumption. We all have an appointment with death. And we don't know when that appointment will take place. But I can guarantee you this, we will not be 1 minute late for that appointment when the time comes. In our house, every month, Pam takes and puts a page of a calendar on the glass on the hutch. Marks on that calendar all the different doctor appointments and dentist appointments or eye doctor appointments, whatever appointments we might have for the month, she marks them on that calendar there on the hutch. So that we go there and we know what the day of the appointment is, what the time of the appointment, and you know, we know about these appointments. But none of us know the year, the month, the week, the day, the hour, nor the minute when our spiritual appointment will take place. None of us know. And you know what? I think that if God were to reveal to us his appointment book, I think some of us might be shocked as to how close our appointment is. It's kind of like the two guys who loved to play baseball. And they made an agreement with each other. Whichever one died first would come back and tell the other if there's baseball in heaven. Well, sure enough, one did die. And he came back and he told the other one, "I have some good news and some bad news." He said, "The good news is they do play baseball in heaven." The other man said, "Well, what's the bad news?" He said, "The bad news is you'll be pitching tomorrow night." Well, you know, we can assume we have many more opportunities, but it could be we are assuming too much. So we had better be ready before that time would come, because it could come anytime. You know, the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember that game hide and seek we used to play as kids? We'd all run around and hide while someone would count to 100. And when the counter got through, you remember what he'd holler? Ready or not, here I come. Well, one of these days, you're going to meet God. You have an appointment. In Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You have an appointment with God, and ready or not, you're going to keep that appointment. And the question is, have you given your heart to Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? And I tell you that because it is the only way to be ready for that appointment. Listen, if it was possible for you to talk to all people who have died in sin, I'm talking about people who died without receiving Christ as their Savior. If you were to talk to them, they would tell you that they didn't plan on going to hell. It just happened that they died in their sleep, or they died in a car crash, or they died on an operating table, or they died in some freak accident. And the truth is, we all have an appointment with death, but none of us knows when that appointment is. And there are people today who are assuming they have plenty of time to keep living in sin, and they think they will give their heart to the Lord later. And this is the most foolish gamble that a person could ever take. And let me tell you this, there is nothing that Satan has to offer us that is worth dying and going to hell for. Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. Remember, Jesus said in Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And probably the greatest example of someone who did that in the Bible is a man named Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. I believe Judas, sitting there in hell, must feel like a fool. He traded eternity in heaven for 30 pieces of silver. And you know, many folks today are still trading heaven off for a few momentary pleasures in sin. They refuse to repent of their sin. They refuse to receive Christ as their Savior. They go on assuming that they can sin and get away with it, and they go on assuming that they have many more opportunities to be saved. And I'm here to tell you this: you cannot win at the game called sin. You can't. And so I plead with you, and I beg you, to forsake your sin, and today call out to Christ in prayer and ask Him for forgiveness and eternal life, and make Him your Savior and Lord while you have the opportunity. Take the advice of the great prophet Amos, who said in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. And take the advice of the great prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I challenge you today, while you still have the opportunity, open your heart and receive Christ in, because tomorrow could be too late. We have no promise we're going to be around for tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And so why not come to Christ today, right now, and once and for all, settle the question of where you will spend eternity. Don't end up in hell because of the sin of assuming too much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. And Lord, I